Gatha on opening the sutra, the Dharma, incomparably profound and infinitely subtle, is rarely encountered, even in millions of ages. Now we see it, hear it, receive and maintain it. May we completely realize the Tathagata's true meaning.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Morning, Sensei.
I want to start out with a brief story, which I think relates to how we take up any aspect, any expression of our practice. There are 10,000 words, 10,000s of words written on Zen practice. So this experience that I had, that wasn't a spiritual experience, but this one morning, I was walking down the street in Clinton, which is where Faye and I are moving, and the main street has shops on both sides, a couple of restaurants, and just checking out what was going on there. And walking along, there was a shop that had an open sign in the window, a neon sign, and the sign was out, and the lights in the store were out. And it was sort of a contrast because most of the town was active and things were going on. And so we continued to walk down the street, then eventually turned around and came back. And when we walked past the same shop, the open sign was lit. It was a beautiful blue color, blue and red color, and all the lights were on inside. So somehow it occurred to me that we can read a lot about Zen and acquire a lot of knowledge, but we need our Zen practice, our Zazen, to flip on the open sign, to bring it to life. And so, again, I'm going to give a talk today, as I've done many times. And the degree to which we can experience the truth of this, the heart of this, has to do with our dedication to our practice of Zazen. So the part of the Heart Sutra, part of the heart of the Heart Sutra is form is no other than emptiness, and emptiness is no other than form. Form is exactly emptiness, and emptiness is exactly form. Now, as you know, if you've been around for a while, I've given many talks over and over in different forms about form is emptiness, emptiness is form. But this is one of the core teachings of our practice. So I think through time, it's really important to talk about this over and over again. And it might be interesting as each time comes, each talk comes, to sort of reflect as to whether or not you have seen it any more deeply than the time before. So I'm going to begin with a metaphor. So our Sangha, we could say, was like a beautiful garden. And that one of the ways of looking at our garden is to see it, to see the Sangha as a whole, and not so much focusing on the individual as a community. And so from this perspective, the Sangha is one body, one Sangha, one community, and one shared life together. Now, another way to look at the Sangha is to see it's made up with all these wonderful human beings, each expressing humanity in their own particular way. And in looking at it this way, the Sangha as both a group and as a whole Sangha. And when we look at it as a whole, we see it as one thing, all interconnected, all moving together as one. And so we can also see it as each of us as an individual, each of us as an individual expression of life itself. And so when we look at it from that perspective, we are looking at the individual parts, not the whole as a unit. So the Sangha is one body. Because the Sangha is one body, the individual members are totally interdependent on each other. We're totally interdependent. And each one of us can be affected by every other aspect of the Sangha as a whole. And if we look carefully, we see that the whole is the parts, and the parts are the whole, and that they are inseparable. So this is a personal way to look at form and emptiness. And when your mind does not focus on the names that it creates, the ideas that it has about the Sangha, we say the mind is still empty of names. And if we are in this place, this allows us to experience the Sangha as an undivided whole when the mind is still. And if you've ever noticed, our minds can move back and forth from the Sangha as a whole to the Sangha as individuals. So we actually have, just about every time we meet, that experience of slowly moving back and forth, seeing both sides. So I am speaking, so most people are seeing me as an individual unit. But if we look at the screen, we see all the rest of us in making up the whole. So our mind can go back and forth from form, the individual, to emptiness. Now, the final step is to realize that form is the Sangha, as I said, defined by our names for it. Emptiness is the experience of the Sangha left unnamed. And if we see clearly, we find that emptiness is form, and form is emptiness. So even though we see them as two different things, two different perspectives, they are exactly at the same time one. The only separation between form and emptiness exists in our mind. And it's not a bad thing. It's another way of experiencing. But the way that we're least familiar with experiencing is the simultaneity of them. No matter whether we focus on one or the other, it's still, they're still simultaneously existing. So that's when we say that the whole is the parts and the parts are the whole. So Zen is focused on form and on emptiness and the relationship between them. And our practice allows us to experience that this is the essence of all of life and the essence of the universe. So our practice comes in. Now I'm giving information, which is knowledge that you are receiving. Now, as I said before, if we practice, the practice, the Zazen, brings the words that I'm talking about more to life, or the words that we read about more to life. So this practice is very important in having any Zen discussion. So Zen is focused on form and emptiness and the relationship between them. And our practice, our Zazen, allows us to experience that this is the experience of all of life. So it's not just the Sangha, the metaphor of life, but life itself, the essence of the universe. Now, this Bernie wrote about this, and I think a really wonderful metaphor for what I'm talking about. And so he talks about a stick, and he says, if we take a stick, we usually name it a stick. We can name its length, dynamic, diameter, shape, weight, and color. We can determine the species of it, the tree that it came from. We can put it under a microscope. And as we go deeper and deeper, we find more and more space and less substance. And before long, what we are seeing does not look like a stick at all. All we see is wood. And when we go below that, when we blow that up, we don't even see wood anymore. We see a so-called molecular structure. And if we keep increasing the magnification, all of a sudden, all we see is space. So there is nothing left, and that nothing is emptiness. And that is what's left unnamed. Eventually, if you go deeper and deeper and deeper, there's nothing. There's nothing that can be named anymore. So much of our practice is about learning to see both sides so clearly that they both disappear, at which point we can move freely one side to another or talk about either side without getting stuck in a one-sided view, like the example of a Sangha. We can talk about our individual parts. We can talk about ourselves as a community, and we can move back and forth. And the heart of it is the experience that both of these perspectives are one. Now, there's another aspect of this, which is, I find, very human and very beautiful, and comes from a koan, which I mentioned over time, many times. So realizing the inseparable nature of form and emptiness is to experience true nature, true intimacy. In emptiness, there is no separate self. And so without the barriers that the mind creates, that there's a you and an I, there is again this one body. There is no separation between us other than what naming creates. And this is what the koan means when it says, not knowing is most intimate. Right? All these drop away, all these names. And that's when we realize you are me, I am you. And again, those are words, and those words drop away. But that emptiness, that place of silence is so intimate, much more intimate than any words can describe. So in the traditional way of talking about this, we say we are one with everything, right? So it's not just individuals. It's not just being intimate, truly intimate with a friend or a neighbor or a spouse. It's being truly intimate with all of life. We are life. It's one thing. Life is one unified thing. And even that description drops away. It just is. We just move in that way. So this intimacy, this experience of this incredible sense of intimacy is expressed as love. And as we say in Zen Peacemaker Order, it's expressed as love in action. And that action we call compassion. So thank you. And please continue to sit and allow your life to open in a glorious and beautiful way. Thank you.